FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars,
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers!
Hello, everyone. I am Weird Wolf, a.k.a. Deron Land, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 204, recorded June 17th, 2016. I am your host, of course, and with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
Returning in the UK, Tobias.
Hello.
Yay!
He's got
a little bit of information for us after we finish our introductions. But also joining us this evening is Plasticon, a.k.a. Jason Lawson.
Hey, G2's back. Never goes away.
Yeah. And so is your frilly curtain in the background.
I know, right? It's all tie-dye like crazy, and there's a Zodiac back there. So, yeah.
You need a big Autobot insignia on it. That would make it so much better. A G2 Autobot. Make it a slanted G2 Autobot insignia. There you go.
Yes, I'll have to work on that.
And also joining us is Jim Black, a.k.a. Moroni Prime.
Get started, Ramjet.
Ramjet. Yes. Have you watched his review yet? Watch his review.
Awesome figure.
That's the Club Ramjet, not the Masterpiece Ramjet, for those who are listening.
Yes.
All right. Before we go into our topic tonight, we're going to be talking about Beast Wars and how it saved the franchise and our thoughts on that. But before we do that, Tobias, you have some information to tell us on a convention.
Yeah, I do. Probably most of the Transformers community already heard about this, but it's a big thing for us here in Europe because it's time. It's time once again for a rollout roll call here in the UK. And that's a show or a convention dedicated to Transformers and G.I. Joe and Action Force. But they're mainly focusing on Transformers nowadays for obvious reasons.
I almost fell. my chair came unlatched, and I'm like, whoa.
And news is causing people to fall over themselves.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a roll out.
Roll out and fall down.
Out of your chair.
Autobots, transform, roll out, and fall over.
Just like the cat.
Yes.
Yeah, well, so
at least your chair didn't attack you.
Yeah.
The master chair. Yeah, this is held between the 8th and 10th of July near Heathrow. So luckily for me, it's only a couple of minutes of travel for me. And it's actually a good segue to today's topic because when you buy one of their tickets, their Energon or crossover tickets, you will get One Free BotCon figure. Has anyone heard about this?
No. A free BotCon figure.
No, you're not getting it for free because you have to pay £75.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's the entrance for the whole weekend. And you're also able to buy a Megatron figure from this year's BotCon and an Eraser figure as well. So there has been a lot of controversy about this when they released this news, because a lot of BotCon attendees and non-attendees felt left out and said that they bought all stock and everything.
I say kudos to the guys from Rollout Roll Call for being able to secure that. But at the same time, as somebody who got a Megatron but just under the wire, that's kind of a slap into the face, because you know everybody was told, oh, limited numbers and everything. So okay, were they limited numbers to just BotCon, or did they hold back some to sell to Rollout Roll Call? You know, that's a big slap in the face.
Yeah. Plus, and I'm just going back to this since I was there, like you, Doran. If they were that limited, why do they lift the limit on that one figure? And why do they allow 20 plus or 40? Depends on which story you hear, but we do know that at least 40 were bought by at least two people in one purchase. That's just, you know, with this being the last BotCon, that was just a real.
Well, like I said, you know, I'm not criticizing Rollout Roll Call in any way, shape, or form. I think it's awesome that they're having them there, and that particular figure available. That in and of itself is awesome.
Yes, it is,
and I feel great for the people in the UK and Europe being able to get those.
It's just the way the figure was handled up to that point.
Well, you know, and I don't, as a collector, I don't collect for value per se. But I do want the figures that I have to have some sort of intrinsic value on the open market, because that makes it worth having. You know, I mean, we've talked about many, many times, you know, collect what you like. But, you know, if you want something to have and I think this is a good topic for another show, but, cause we could talk a whole show on this, I'm sure. You know, I don't want a bunch of worthless figures. I want figures that I know are worth something that other people want too, because it makes it more valuable to me, and it's not, looky what I have. It's just that, you know, why would you want something that nobody else wants? See what I'm saying?
Was that a crack toward G2?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Sort of, right? because I mean, nobody else wants G2. I mean, it's like hideous.
but like you said, Aaron, it's a topic for another show, and I don't want to open this wound again.
No, I mean, it's not like I'm saying, I'm not criticizing the show in any way. And like I said, I think it's really awesome that they're getting those, but you know,
I was just going to clarify, because I said you were going to get a free figure if you spend £75 for the whole weekend. It's not the Megatron figure. It's not the Air Race figure. We're going to get the Pterosaur figure. So if you pay that price for the Energon ticket. And they are limited. I don't know how limited they are. And the BotCon Megatron figure and the BotCon Air Racer figure is also limited. But we haven't heard any numbers at all. So, I don't know. If it's to be counted in with the official BotCon count, or this is a separate stash, because they made some sort of a deal with Fun Publications on this, I'm sure.
Is there a markup of any kind on these figures from what they originally cost at BotCon, or is it relatively about the same?
Okay, so I got the figures here. It's £110 for the Megatron figure. So I have a nice calculator here. So I'm just going to put in 110 pounds. That equals $158.
For the Megatron, 158. Yeah, that's a considerable markup.
Yeah, that's a 50% markup. Yeah, because Megatron was 100 at BotCon.
Yeah.
Wasn't he 80?
No, he was 99 because.
I'm pretty sure he was 80.
Was he 80? I thought he was 99.
He was the most expensive one. He was at 80. Everything else was like 50 and okay. 60. Okay.
All right.
And the Air Racer is 55 pounds, which equals roughly $78.
She was like 40 or 50. I think she was one of the cheaper ones.
Yeah, so that's about a $25 increase.
So there has been speculations because obviously people felt cheated for all the numbers from BotCon. But I don't think this is the same stash because I think the figures from BotCon is true. This was shipped from China or whatever. And then you have to consider VAT, custom fees and everything else. So there is a markup.
Yeah.
But like you said, this whole other discussion for another show. But what I wanted to mention that we finally get Transformers convention here. And, Roller Drolpo has been on for several years, but I haven't been able to go before. So.
Well, it's awesome. Be sure to take pictures and post them in the public group. And
I will do that, and I will do a small. Small clips that we can post on our site as well. So.
That would be awesome. I would love to go to a convention in the UK. I've been wanting to have an opportunity to go over there, but just time and money is my issue.
Road
trip.
Road trip.
Road trip.
Travel those.
Got their hydrofoil, right?
Yeah.
They are having guests as well. So if I can remember it right, I'm trying to find it here. It's Morgan Lofting. We've seen them before at BotCon, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to find the information here. It just disappeared from me. I had it right in front of me. But anyway, it's great. We have another convention coming up.
Check out Rollout Roll Call coming up very soon.
Yeah, sure.
But let's get into our topic of discussion tonight. I don't think it's something that we can go a long time on tonight, but it is something that comes up from time to time, especially with this being the 20th anniversary of Beast Wars. And I've seen it brought up a number of times on Facebook and so other social media, and over the years on the message boards, Beast Wars saved the franchise. It's sometimes argued, but at the same time, it's also a topic that you hear and you look at the evidence and you're like, yeah, I can kind of see that. Because let's kind of put it in perspective, Beast Wars came along in 1996, late 95, I guess is whenever the Megatron, Bat Megatron and Gator Primal or Gator Megatron and Bat Primal came out. Generation 2 was on its way out. Much to Plasticon's chagrin.
My heart sinks a little bit. I'm sorry.
But I hate to say this, but Transformers was on a huge decline. The gamble with the fantastic colors and things like that, it honestly didn't work. It didn't because Generation 1, Transformers was like the toy, the boy's toy to have. And then toward the end of Generation 1, 1989, 1990, Transformers consisted of Micromasters, Pretenders, and that's in the American.
Don't forget
markers.
The Action Master.
I was getting ready to say those, and the Action Masters, basically Transformers that didn't have Transformers or didn't transform, but they had partners that converted sorta. But it really wasn't. It's almost like you could go into a store. Toy aisle, and you were like, and I'll be honest, I honestly thought this during that era, because I wasn't a huge fan of the Action Masters. Micro Masters were cool, but they weren't the full size Transformers I was used to, and Pretenders, it was a neat concept, but essentially it was a plastic shell with a robot that just folded up and put its head between its crotch, and there you have a vehicle, quote unquote, you know. And honestly, it just seemed like Hasbro at the time was just throwing something on the shelf just to have the name on it. And that was my opinion as a kid in the era. I mean, there was some cool stuff, but it just wasn't as cool as what came before. And then came Generation 2 with, you know, you were bringing back the 84, 85 molds, some of them with really fanciful decos. And as Rick showed on several episodes ago, you know, some of them that never were released, like the South Florida Mirage and the funky South Florida colored Swoop and everything. I mean, I would have died to have those, but it just didn't work. I mean, yeah,
well,
later on.
There are a few things, though, that they learned with G2 that actually leaked into Beast Wars. You got to remember, you had the Cyber Jets that had crazy articulation, the same thing with.
Incidentally, right behind me.
Exactly, those guys. And there was learning quirks they used with G2 that actually leaked directly into Beast Wars, which actually, you have to think about it. If G2 didn't come along, Beast Wars probably wouldn't have had half the articulation that they did.
Well, I mean, that's the great thing with Transformers in general. I mean, over the years, you know, they tend to take things that they learn from previous designs and previous lines, and even other lines. I mean, we've seen Brave influences in Transformers, and apply them in future iterations of the franchise and of the brand. And Beast Wars and Generation 2 is no different. But quite honestly, you know, Generation 2 was a failed experiment in my opinion. It was good, but there was really no cartoon. The comics were very short-lived. The cartoon was essentially the Generation 1 cartoons that people had seen over and over and over and over again, repackaged with funky CGI effects.
Well, like a CG cube transition portion. But to be honest, if they would have took the comic book iteration and put that into more fruition, G2 would have been around a lot longer. And Jim was actually saying, you know, you got light piping that came from that. You have ball joints. You have flip formers, which that's essentially what the Crocodile and Bat was when they first came out. There's a lot of little teeny tiny quirks they learned from that. So,
well, Rattrap, one of the key figures from the show, yeah. Rattrap, Pterosaur.
And there's some beautiful figures that came out. I'm not dogging, you know, the toys for, you know, Beast Wars, because I wasn't really into those, but I learned the engineering that they learned from G2 really got crammed in the Beast Wars.
Well,
and sorry.
No, go ahead.
It wasn't actually Hasbro that made the toys, right, in the first round.
It was Kenner, a subsidiary of Hasbro, yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, and the one thing that most people don't ever think about this is you got depth charge that fires discs. That disc firing gimmick came from Laser Prime.
Yeah, that's true.
I think the one thing that hurt G2 the most was the recycled cartoon. There wasn't anything out there with the new characters, with these new concepts being shown on the screen. You just had as awesome as the Cybernet Space Cube was, new episode, because I remember what when the very first morning when Generation 2 came on, I sat down, and I remember this succinctly. It was The Core, one of the worst season 2 episodes, and I'm a big season 2 fan. The Core is not a good episode, and it was the very first one they showed with under the G2 banner, and I was like, what is this? It wasn't called G1 at the time, I don't think, really.
This is just the original cartoon over again.
Exactly. So, there. I mean, sort of like Power Core Combiners, you know, there wasn't any fiction backing up the Generation 2, all these new characters, all these new molds and stuff. So I think that's one reason, one thing they took from Generation 2, not just the technological advances they made, but also the fact is we got to have fiction. We have to have a story behind this like we did before to get people invested in the characters.
Well, let's face it.
Well, if you think about the look at the G2 commercials, though, a lot of them had that CG. That CG was something they started experimenting at the time before Beast Wars come out. There was never anything like that on television until you saw those commercials.
And
those
again,
commercials blew every kid's mind back then.
And again, at the time, that was some of the most impressive CG we had seen, you know, because, you know, we had Reboot, which was a pinnacle of animation at the time.
Did that not come just prior to Reboot, if I recall?
In my head, it's all in the same. I mean, if you look up dates, it's probably one's going to precede the other. But I'm just saying, in my memory, it's all hitting about the same time.
Okay. Yeah, because the only thing I can think of that we had close to that, at least in like '93, might have been maybe the Incredible Crash Dummies cartoon. I think that was the first big jump into CG for a kids show.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it, though. Media sells toys. And if you think about Generation 1, whenever it came about, it was right after that law that passed where they could actually make these 30-minute toy commercials. And let's be honest, that's what they were. The Generation 1 cartoon was a 24 to 30-minute device designed to sell the toys. You got interested in the characters. You saw them on TV every day. You read them in the comic books, and you wanted to go out to the store and buy them. And Generation 2 simply did not have that. I mean, it had it, but I mean, once you got past the original re-releases of the original toys and started getting into the
Unique releases.
Cyberjets, the Autobot cars, yeah, the laser rods.
There was just nothing to support those.
Right, and that's where I've always said that, you know, they didn't miss the boat. They missed the boat completely because, I mean, if you look at the actual G2 comic, the G2 comic is very well told. The story is very well done. It's just actually getting into it. And it had a very, very dark tone. Which, to be honest, I probably think that maybe they weren't ready to release that as a dark tone thing on the television screen, so it was made a little better money for it to be in a comic shop, and it didn't catch on the way they were expecting it.
Yeah.
Before we go on, though, I do want to tell our listeners, if you're listening to us live or on our downloadable version, audio version, you can feel free to interact with us on Twitter at TFYLP. If you're doing it while we're live, I may notice it and mention it on air, your comments on air. And also a very popular means of communicating with us during the show is on our Facebook group. If you're watching us and listening to us live, you can tell us your comments, ask questions, and we will try to read them back if we have a chance or if they're pertinent, and talk about them here on the show. So check out our TFYLP Facebook group or tweet us at TFYLP. We'd love to hear from you. Don, you were getting ready to say something?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I'm glad they took that to heart, because I honestly think if the fiction for Beast Wars was not as well done as it was when we saw the first episode of Beast Wars, we didn't know what to expect. We had no idea what was going on. Were these the same? Because I remember being on Alt Toys Transformers when it premiered. Oh my God! You have never seen. If you think boards now can get snippy, you were not there the day after or the day Beast Wars premiered. If you weren't there, you honestly cannot imagine the sheer. Oh God! It's just
I wasn't there, but. tell us, Don. What are some things that you did remember?
Picture it. All Toys Transformers. Oh my God! It was, people were ecstatic because it was new characters and new places. Was this Earth? Wasn't it Earth? Was it Earth in the future? Was it Earth in the past? Is it some completely different planet? Is it an alternate reality? Is it even connected to G1? Then you had the haters. Oh my God! They're animals. Where's the vehicles? Who's this primal guy? He's a stupid monkey.
But he has Optimus Prime's head. What?
Yeah. And it's like, oh, the cheetah guy's a hot rod copy. These are all clones. They don't count for nothing. And on and on and on and on. And just maybe because
nothing have changed.
Well, it's actually, if you look at that initial result from the two-parter premiere, you could say forums have actually got a little bit better if you look at it in the right kind of light. But I remember sitting down watching the premiere episode. I was ecstatic, and maybe because being an older fan, and you know, when Transformers started in '84, I was already 14 years old. And so, you know, maybe because I was older, the changing of the guard kind of thing really didn't bother me because I understood, you know, this is a toy line, and you know where, you know, it new stuff has to come out to keep the line fresh. I mean, I understood that even back then, so I had no problem with. I was kind of curious to see, is this Optimus Prime? Is this our Megatron? Whatever the case may be, and as we all know, our friend Ben Yee. He went on as a advisor for.
Didn't he started that as a email communique between himself and I believe the head writer, one of the writers.
Right. Because you know, again, and Ben, if I'm remembering this wrong, I'm old, so you know, just keep that in mind. But they weren't even going to originally tie it back to G1, and then. I think Ben and working with all of them, they saw how they could tie it all together. And then you'd have the agenda part 1, 2, and 3 when everything came into focus, and then how it all tie in through the final season. But I had no problem with these new characters other than I was like, everybody's like, who are these people? Are they the same characters? Is Ronox Ironhide new form? Is he somebody else? Is he Dion? You know, we didn't know who was who, so that was part of the fun.
You know, it's almost like Ben Yee got a hold of this guy. I can't remember his name. Was it? I want to say, was it Marty Eisenberg or was those? Well, Bob, was it, that was Beast Machines?
Bob Ford.
Beast Machines. Bob Ford. Yes. He got a hold of him, and he's like, "Okay, this story's great. But let me tell you about Transformers."
Oh, great.
Let me educate you.
Yeah, Ben Yee was rad. Let me tell you about Transformers.
Knocked on his door and said, "Have you heard about our Lord and Savior Transformers?" Here's a card.
Here's a pamphlet.
Here's a pamphlet of Primus, you know. But I will say this again. I was working for a company at the time called Service Merchandise, which some of y'all may remember as a Kellogg showroom, which was an entirely different way of shopping at the time. And we had just had a Target open up next to us. And at the time, Target was this new, great new chain with all the shiny pretties. And I remember between working at Service Merchandise and going to Target on my lunch break, I had been hunting down these Beast War figures. As soon as they came out, I remember finding Tarantulas. I remember finding, you know, all the first wave figures except Cheetor, because Cheetor was a little bit delayed till. Oh, you got one, huh?
Yeah, I went to the zoo. Yeah. Well, this is a Beast Wars-ish knockoff. If you go to your local zoo, I got this one at the Louisville Zoo a couple weeks ago. And it's essentially, it doesn't transform like Cheetor or anything, but it kind of winds up sort of like him because of the tiger head winds up on the chest and everything. But the robot mode for this thing is so awful. It's not even funny. That's why it's in tiger mode.
That's the same KO that Dan Protoman, aka, you know, Protoman.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's the same one he actually did a review of, but he did his and it was a white tiger.
It's the same brand.
I forget what those things were called, though.
The quality is not there. I mean, it's like that leg is...
Wow.
I took the back hips apart just to try to fix that, and it's just the way it's made. There's no friction there whatsoever.
Yeah. Did they have a moose? If they had a moose, we're in business.
Oh, Ferrata Moose Primal? No, yeah. They didn't have that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see too many zoos with mooses roaming about. Anyway, so again, you know, from the old guy of the group, I remember getting these figures that came out. I remember getting the Optimus Primal, the Ultra Optimus Primal. And again, Ultra was a new class for starting with Beast Wars. I don't believe we had anything Ultra class. We had the leader class for G2 and some stuff like that, but I don't think we really had anything that was officially called Ultra. And we had Optimus and Megatron, and we got all the other small. So that, other than the flip changer, other than the spring loaded first wave of small figures like Rat Trap, they really didn't super impress me as far as the technology. But I liked the way they looked. The sculpting was really nice.
Well, I'm not entirely sure that Hasbro. And this is purely conjecture now because I've not heard this officially, but my opinion is that Kenner was like the brand that, you know, it's like Hasbro was like, okay, Transformers through G1, it had its heyday. Generation 2, we tried it. It didn't work. We're just going to move on to something else, but we don't want to get rid of the brand. We still want to have ownership of it. Here, Kenner, see what you can do with it. And if you notice, after the first few waves of Beast Wars, Hasbro's logo started appearing back on the packages. And part of me kind of wonders is, did Hasbro give it to Kenner and, you know, it's like, okay, if it dies, it's not going to be a big deal. And let's see if, you know, fresh eyes and fresh voices it can do something with this franchise. And I think those guys at Kenner, they took it and looked at it and said, hey, we got a chance here to totally reinvent the franchise. Mm-hmm. You know, clean slate.
They took the brand and gave it over to some intern.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. I think that's what they did.
Yeah. Well, what it probably was is when it started to be popular, they wanted to bring it back into the Hasbro fold to get the name connection between Hasbro and Beast Wars as a Transformers product. So it was probably just trying to increase their portfolio. But like you said, it could have been some hedging their bets. And if it didn't work, it was a Kenner property and not exactly a Hasbro. I would like to think that's not the case, but we all know the real world is not sunshine and flowers all the time.
Kind of like some of these third parties, you know, you have Unique Toys and then you have...
Sam Possible.
Well, Unique Toys, I think, also does DX9.
Yeah, we think.
And there's some of these companies that are in with each other, or are the same company, but they release under different banners. That way, if something fails or something, I think, you know, the other's protected, and it's also kind of help protect themselves from.
Mm-hmm. What if they're all under the same banner, but they just keep rebranding themselves?
Nah, there's too much. There's too much.
Yeah. But, So yeah, that was
the packaging was branded Kenner until 1998. I had to look it up. So yeah.
Oh, and that's something. That's something that I think we need to talk about. The packaging. God, that was some great packaging, especially the first wave with the Rocky Bubbles to give it the whole beast and nature thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love it.
They went all out, you know, and the whole background with that looked like reptile skin with the giant beast mm-hmm. eye that was right behind the thing.
Yeah.
That was neat. And it kind of harkened back to Generation 1, you know, with the grid background and the glowy thing behind the character. You know, it kind of, you had the toy in front of the beast eye, you know, it kind of maintained that theme, and I thought that was really neat.
Yeah. And it definitely stood out on the shelf because, I mean, you could just stand at the beginning, because if you were like, say I was on my lunch break and I wanted to see if Target got any new figures in, you could just sort of glance down the row, and those stood out like crazy on the toy row. With the colors and the bubble and everything, you could tell from 20 feet away if there was new stuff out, just because how visually impressive they were. So I would like to see I mentioned this before. There's a book out by I think it's Jim Forrester. Hopefully I'm getting the right name right.
Jim Forrester.
It's Transformers Legacy art book.
That's Jim Forrester. Yeah, we had him on.
Okay. Oh, we talked about it. Yeah, I'm getting my names mixed up. Then I apologize. Yeah, as great as that legacy book is for all the G1 stuff, I would like to see maybe G2 and Beast Wars artwork done in that same format, like say Legacy Generation 2 or Legacy Beast Wars Edition. That because there's a lot. Again, I was growing up with this as it was coming out. A lot of the younger fans have gone back and picked it up, and the you lose a lot of impact on the way this stuff was such a difference from what came before.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually looking at it right now. The book that you were referencing, let me share it. It's here on Amazon.
Is it still about $20?
It is $33.47 and I'm getting ready to buy a copy.
It's well worth the money.
Yeah, the Transformers Legacy of Art of Transformers Packaging, released October 21st of 2014. Author of Jim Sorensen. We had him on several episodes ago. Go back and check that out here on TFYLP. And also Bill Forrester, I believe, of IDW.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that the black album? Because we can't see anything.
Yeah, we have
the
visual later on.
No, yeah, it must be the black album.
Oh, your all screen's not showing it?
It's nothing on our end.
It's the Nemesis remake.
Hopefully the viewers on YouTube can see this. But anyway, yeah, it's right there on Amazon. And I'm actually getting ready to order it myself.
Yeah, it's a lot of us on RFC were really excited about this book. And I think three or four of us pre-ordered it as soon as it went up. And even at regular retail, it's worth the price because it's just – and it's not just the box art of stuff you've seen. It's stuff that you never saw and variations on that as well. So it's definitely – but I would like to see a G2 version of that, a Beast Wars version, a Japanese version, you know, because they could do so many different books – a Brave version at some point, Duran, especially for the Brave fans on some of the artwork. Of course, then you'd have to have two boxes, Takara versus Sonic Kong. So there's that. But Beast Wars, just when it hit, was just like we didn't know what was happening. We didn't know what to expect. And it was fun. Other than the online community going insane.
The thing is as being growing up with Generation 1 as I did, whenever Generation 2 came on and I started seeing the Generation 2 cartoon, as it were, which was essentially the G1 cartoon recycled. And I started realizing, okay, they're going back and re-releasing the original toys. I'm starting to see rehashes of the original old episodes of the cartoon, not the newer ones like the Rebirth or even season three. They were going back to season one and two. And I'm like, maybe I'm just getting old. That was the first inkling that I had that I was like, maybe I'm just getting old. And that's whenever I actually started getting away from Transformers around the beginning of Generation 2 and there. And I went into Dino Riders. That was my big thing for about a year or so. I still stayed up with Transformers. That's where I remember seeing Generation 2 on the shelf. My first year of college, I remember seeing the end of Generation 2 and Beast Wars on the shelf. But I didn't buy any. But then whenever I never actually got to see the Beast Wars cartoon. I know I'm getting old when I can recall riding Dino Riders. Yeah. but I'm almost as old as Don. Oh,
yeah. I remember when these things called dinosaurs first showed up. They were big and scary, but then we used saddles made of rocks and we could ride them.
Yeah.
Of course, the vines we used were a little itchy.
He's 3 days older than Dirt. Back in those days, they used to call him Yabba Dabba Don.
Yeah. Bedrock Dawn. Bedrock Dawn. But seriously though, I didn't get to see the Beast Wars cartoon until I was seeing the the Fox Kid re-airs of the Beast Wars cartoon during the week, and then on the weekends we would see Beast Machines. It's whenever Beast Machines was starting to come on the shelf. You could still find some Beast Wars on the shelf, but it just, you know, is on its way out. Beast Machines is on its way in. But that was my first exposure to Beast Wars, was watching during the weekday of an afternoon. And I remember I had a hard time with it. I'll be honest. It was, the storytelling was good, and I agree with that. But as a Generation 1 fan, it took me a while to warm up to it. I was very Truck Not Monkey at that time, because simply for the reason that I didn't want change. I wanted my semi and cars and guns and jet planes. I wanted those back. Boom, and
boxes.
Yeah.
And that is the most ironic thing about this entire franchise. And it's been said before, but it bears repeating by a dozen people. This line is nothing but change, and people fight against it, against every new incarnation. It is the most incredibly weird thing that you will see in the fandom, because, you know, that's what this line does. It changes, it evolves, new characters, new forms, new alt modes, yet people will still push against that. Even like even the movies, you know, we didn't know what the first movie was going to look like, but even based on still images, people were saying, again, they're looking at one still image and saying the entire thing is going to fail.
Yeah.
You know, and it was that way during Beast Wars. You know, there's people saying, oh, this thing won't last half a season because it looks like crap and they're animals. How does that doesn't make any sense. It's a brand new show. How do you know it's going to fail?
Yeah.
Don, you hit the nail on the head there, saying how the franchise has always been about change. And that's exactly right. You know, every single incarnation, one form or another, it's been themed solely around change. And, you know, there may be some people that try to argue that point and say that it's not. But then I would look at them and report, you know, name one thing about Transformers that has always stayed the same.
Even Optimus Prime has changed throughout the years.
Yeah. I mean, there are similarities from line to line, so that way you recognize him as Optimus Prime. Even my favorite toy, Optimus Prime RID Fire Convoy, was such a radical departure from any other Prime before, except maybe Optimus Primal. But there was still Optimus Prime elements in his design that you could recognize even as a casual fan.
Exactly.
And that one's even changed. It became a banana.
Open, damn it! Open!
I have to agree with the Duran about the Beast Wars. I had a really hard time with that as well, and it took me years until I saw Beast Wars again and fell in love with it. But I remember when RID came along, 2000, 2001, something like that, and I was like, yeah, it's back, the old traditional Transformers again. And I think it took nearly 2 years after that before I saw Beast Wars again. And,
wow. Well, you know, I think that's about the time, because it took me a very long time, honestly, to warm up to Beast Wars. I accepted it. Well, I take that back. I didn't accept it. I just tolerated it because, you know, at least in my mind, at least the brand was still around. But I really didn't acknowledge, hey, this is a good show. It was really great for what it was, simply because, you know, I wanted my cars and trucks back. And then whenever RID came along, and then I think it was around the time Armada and Cybertron and Energon, the Unicron trilogy was long, and we got those Rhino DVD box sets of the Beast Wars cartoon. And I was able to sit down, and I sat down with the Transformers franchise for the first time, and I wasn't in the mindset, oh, I want my cars and trucks back. I was able to watch it from an objective point of view. Okay, you know, I can have my cars and trucks, but this was part of the franchise. I can go back and enjoy this for what it was then. And I did, you know, and that's a very selfish way of putting it, but quite frankly, that's how I felt up until that time. And then whenever I went back and gave it a real shot, and I'll be honest with you, I gave it a half-ass shot as it was airing live. I didn't enjoy it as much as I should have. And I'll be honest, I fully enjoyed Beast Machines later on too. I'm one of those that actually liked the Beast Machines cartoon.
Oh my God. People are going to flip out.
Yeah. But you know, the thing is I didn't really enjoy it until much later, whenever I had a chance to watch it without the pre-cognizant, you know, I want my cars and trucks back. I can't enjoy this because it's not what I want, you know, as a Generation 1 fan. But whenever I finally gave it its final, you know, final shot, I'm like, hey, this is a damn good show. And it is. I look back now fondly on Beast Wars, and I'm like, I'm glad that happened. Anybody else feel that way?
Absolutely. When I went back to see Beast Wars again around years later, I actually found it so good that I picked up Beast Machines, and I'm one of those as well. I love Beast Machines. Actually, I can say that, it's a strong word, but I love Beast Machines. It's a good continuation.
Okay, listener Joey Roberts just posted, hey, how do you think Beast Wars would have fared if Hasbro would have used G1 characters instead of using new characters? Hasbro doesn't make new characters like it did during the Beast era. To an extent, I agree, but to an extent, I disagree. If Beast Wars, if Optimus Prime was Optimus Prime, but, you know, I mean, we had Optimus Primal, but what if he was Optimus Prime just in as a gorilla? Or I think that's what he's trying to say. Would it have worked? You know, Prowl as an owl, but it was actually Prowl? I don't know.
It could have worked, but at the same time, it could have also hindered it, in my view. If they would have used the heritage characters, you know, and that would have been, you know, Optimus Prime, that would have been Ironhide, and so on and so forth, it would have relied on a cartoon series that at that point was every bit of 10 to 12 years old. And the, you know, the kids that were eating their Lucky Charms, sitting on the floor watching it on Saturday mornings in the 80s, were in college by that point, or exactly. At the very least graduating high school.
Yeah, And they would have either had to made it so exposition heavy to the point where it would have been boring just to get backstory, or you would have had to have crammed so much in the show to reveal these were the same characters. Everyone would have only gotten a minor bit of characterization versus what they got as original characters. Plus, also, I think if they had went with legacy characters, we would have not gotten the great voice actors involved with Beast Wars that we did, and they would have gone with these characters from these voice actors reprising their roles, which, again, is nothing wrong. We would have gotten more Michael Bell, more Greg Gerwig, more Peter Cullen, probably. But can you imagine not having Scott McNeil, not having Gary Chalk, not having David Kaye, not having Venus Turzo, not having Alice Windows, not having Jim Byrne?
Walker would have picked it up. It's all good.
Well, also, let's look at it from this point of view, too. The cartoon was for the first time ever in the Transformers franchise, if I'm not mistaken, Western-produced Transformers series. It was produced with, you know, the original G1 cartoon and its later repackaging as Generation 2 was made in Asia. And just, you know, I'm sure, yes, it was written here in the U.S. And voiced here in the U.S., but it was not written per se. I'm trying to say this. It had more of a Japanese influence or Asian influence because it was anime. And then whenever Mainframe, who was a Canada-based company, or was do they even still exist? But Mainframe was a Canada-based company. The animation itself was produced on this continent. And it was something, it was like everything from the ground up in the franchise, the toys, the cartoons, and let's be honest, I mean, it aired first here in North America, did it not? So you had these characters, it's like the Optimus Primal, Cheetor, they were written for the voice actors, it seemed like, because it just seemed like those voice actors fit those characters more than, you know, say, oh, this character is written and then you got an English voice actor and then you have a Japanese voice actor that came along later. You follow what I'm saying, or am I just out there?
Oh, no, I get what you're saying. It's just, I never saw it as anime because, you know, I saw it as, you know, I was a big Reboot fan. And to me, it was just another Mainframe product that looked really great. And I just never really saw it as anime, as far as Beast Wars goes.
No, it's not anime. I mean, G1, I agree. I'm not sure who posted that over there. But, yeah, G1 is anime. Yeah, it is anime.
Toei Animation, same guys that did Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
Did Generation 1.
But the difference is very stark. And whenever you start from the ground up, you have so much more control over your environment. You know, you're not, I mean, it's like they tied it in with Generation 1, but they weren't slaves to the character. And, you know, I kind of like to see a new series do that. You know, be, you know, have ties to the original Generation 1, or even go back and have like a Beast Wars show. You know, Hasbro probably won't do that anytime soon because they're so anti-Beast. But, you know, have a show that is Beast Wars and has ties to Beast Wars, but it's like totally new. You know, you have references to Optimus Primal and the Axelon and the Golden Disc, but it's all new characters, whole new storylines. I would enjoy that.
kind of like if they took Robots in Disguise 2.0, but set it like after the Beast Wars ended on prehistoric Earth. And it's like they picked up the mantle of safeguarding the Ark while they were there.
Sort of, yeah. It's either that or kind of taken off where like Beast Machines left off. You know, the planet had been, I know Don is like scrunching up his face. But
I'm sorry. It's just, I'll talk about that in a minute. You go ahead.
Well, think about it though. At the end of Beast Machines, Cybertron was reformatted. Was it in the future of after G1 was over, or was it in the past of G1?
It was the future following the events of Generation 1. They had traveled back into time into a period before Generation 1.
Okay. So let's take off, Cybertron for so many millennia was a non-organic planet. Let's just say the techno-organic didn't really take and it reverted back to its natural state of, or more natural state of a Cybertronian that we, state that we know. And, take off from there. It's a Cybertronian based series. You know, you have beasts, but they're Cybertronian beasts, kind of like season 3 was the G1 season 1 and 2. You have G1 characters that interact with older G1 characters, but their alt forms are like not slavish to Earth forms.
Like Flaming Winnebagoes.
Exactly. Flaming Winnebagoes, awesome. Hover cars, things of that nature. I think that would be cool. I'd like to see that.
Well, for me, when Beast Wars got into season 2, and then we started getting closer to the agenda, and we started getting these little hints and bits of stuff that was building up. I'm thinking probably the agenda is what really cements its place, because that's when you got most all your answers. You got the connections to G1. We realized it's all wibbly wobbly timey wimey. It's all linked.
That's why I got confused with the future past thing, because it's like, is that the future, or was that the past, or was that the past of the future?
So, I'm not sure about you guys, but do y'all think if we did not have the agenda, Beast Wars would not have as strong of a place as far as in the history?
No, because the agenda dragged in the G1 fans that were on the fence. They were like, I don't like these beastie things, it's not G1. But whenever you tie it in with G1 and say, hey, it's, the G1 existed, we're acknowledging it, but this is like in the future and these are future characters. It was a lot easier to swallow for older fans.
Yeah.
And you dragged in a whole bunch more.
Yeah. Do y'all remember seeing what Optimus Prime looked like in that CGI? The first time when Megatron goes into the Ark, that entire Ark scene,
leaning forward with your jaw dropped. if my face was anime, I would have like these big heart eyes and everything.
I have to admit, I cried a little bit. I can't be the only one, guys. Come on.
No. Hey, I'm made of sterner stuff. I only cry when Prime dies.
Sterner than what?
He's only made of sterno stuff.
But I think
is a verb.
But I think the agenda had to happen for it to have its place, like you said, Duran, because you get the G1 people in, but more than that, this is what I think is missing from Robots in Disguise 2.0. We don't have the connection to Prime that I think we should have if they're calling this a sequel to Prime. Now, I was all for season 1 doing their own thing, because the show should stand or fall on its own merits. But if you're going to call yourself a sequel to Prime, you need, not until season 2. Spoiler for season 2, if you have not seen it, Prime Ratchet does return, as does Soundwave. So they're tying it together better now, but they still have a lot more to do, in my opinion, to be a true sequel. But Beast Wars became a sequel of sorts to G1 thanks to the agenda, because you got that sense of connection, that sense of continuity.
Well, you exactly. You have some double action going on here. You have Generation 1 fans or older G1/G2 fans watching this series. They're on the fence, and the agenda happens, ties it in, and they're pulled in. You got the new fans that are just starting with Transformers franchise, and they're watching Beast Wars, and then they're not totally – they don't totally know about previous versions of Transformers or the storyline, and then this happens, and they're like, oh, okay, so this is tied to that, maybe tied to something older. Maybe I need to go check that out. I think it created new fans or more rabid fans, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I think it made fans of Beast Wars go back and appreciate what was before and help nurture the brand as a whole.
Absolutely, and I think so as well. And it was really good of them to place it. It was the end of season 2, right?
Yeah, around there, yeah.
Yeah, three-part. It was 3 episodes, right?
Season 2 finale.
Well, yeah. four if you count Optimal Situation, which but Optimal Situation really was kind of a letdown compared to the first 3 parts. Kind of. So it depends on how you look at it.
Well,
then they go into season 3, and we got a whole new thing growing. So
exactly. Well, I mean, you got something similar going on now, you know, with your Generations/Combiner Wars and everything. Those toys and the comic books that are really, really hot right now, they are based on original Generation 1 characters, and a newer generation is falling in love, even though they're new or maybe slightly altered or new versions of the original G1 characters. They're falling in love with these legacy characters, you know, Hot Rod, you know, Power Master Prime, all these guys. I mean, they're all coming back because the franchise is being nurtured. You know, you're taking older stuff, bringing it back and making it new again. And that's how you get fans that, okay, this was around before. Maybe I need to go back and find out. And I like it now. Maybe if I went back and saw some of the older stuff, I'd enjoy that too. And I think that's why it goes back to what I said with, you know, I'd like to see them do a Beast Wars Part 2. You know, I'd like to see them come back and bring a whole new fandom back to the Beast era too. I'm not saying bring it on full bore, because I still want to keep my cars and trucks. But there's no reason why you can't do like they do, you know, with Generations and movie line at the same time. You know, you have your Generations, make that exclusively like Beast characters, and then you have your movie line or what have you. I think that is important for helping nurture this franchise and help it continue for many more years to come. It's necessity, honestly.
Well, my question is, have you seen Beast Wars Neo, the sequel that came out of Japan? How much of it have you actually seen? Because it does tie into Beast Wars.
I've not seen Second or Neo.
Yeah, I should check them out. They're actually really good.
But
there are a lot of toys that you had mentioned, because you know you like your vehicles.
Yeah.
They brought a lot of vehicles back in that version that came out. Basically, what happened
for people that don't,
well, people don't know that, you know, Beast Machines kind of it took over in the United States. Beast Wars continued in Japan as Beast Wars and the Neo and Beast Wars 2 and such. If you want to call it that.
And then didn't Beast Machines come along much later as Beast Wars Returns?
Yes. But I mean, for the guys out there that have not seen it, get into it. It's very good. It's not CG. It's actually back to the standard animation. But it's pretty decent. It's actually very well done. And kind of, to me, it kind of really sparked the whole RID thing when Robots in Disguise came out in the early 2000s. That's where a lot of that animation, I think, started flourishing from that particular cartoon series. Because there is a lot of common elements that I see in it.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say about Neo and 2 is that the tone is very different than anything you're used to in the U.S. It's very, very different than most anything you're used to. So don't go in expecting Beast Machines. Don't go in expecting Beast Wars. Just expect something a little lighter in places, like maybe Car Robots kind of lighter. But, you know, just again, just as a culture shock kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you've got that's where Giga Storm comes from for Trypticon, where they basically took that mold and did what they did, which there's that, and then there's all the auto rollers that nobody saw in, you know, Generation 2. They brought back those toys in different colors and a couple added additions that did not make it to G2, which became full-on toys that are actually in the cartoon as well, not to mention Starscream and BB, which is basically the Megatron and Starscream that we did not get in a different color variation.
Plus, and that's where,
I mean, a lot of toys basically came from that line, and, you know, you have
a transforming,
like this one right here.
Exactly. That's one of the, Auto Jetter.
Yeah.
And they're Decepticons. They're not Autobots. And that's what's kind of crazy. I mean, they did bring back Megatron.
Actually,
Megatron's the freaking tank now, not a gun or anything. So
they have the Predacon logo, but they're Destron. Yeah.
They're Destrons. And of course, they actually call them Destrons in it, too. They don't call them Predacons. They call them Destrons.
And of course, you get the most awesome Transformer ever, Long Rack. The transforming giraffe.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, when you talk about Beast Wars, you can't forget about Neo. Neo's got, I mean, they got the rabid bunny in there. I mean, come on. Death Bunny. And they're plugging Emgo here. If you guys have never watched Emgo, go back and watch his review. He does a great review of that toy.
What, Stampy?
Yeah.
Stampy,
yeah.
That's great.
But, you know, before, you know, like I said, there's not a whole lot to talk about on this, but, you know, let's look at it from the other side of the coin. There are those people that says, well, Beast Wars didn't save the franchise. The franchise was not in danger. How would you react if somebody said that, you know, regardless of whether or not Beast Wars happened, we would have Transformers as popular as they are now? Would anybody disagree with that?
I absolutely would.
Same here. I really disagree with that.
Why?
91 and 92 in the United States, there was pretty much no Transformers presence. I mean, maybe you still had a couple of toys on the shelf in smaller towns, and they shelf one or what have you, but about 93, here comes, Power Rangers, Superhuman Samurai Cyber Squad, Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. Yes, I remember that one.
Darker tone of G.I. Joe.
Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills. It was just another one of those things everybody was hopping on the bandwagon. But those were the in things. Now, combine that with, you had like Batman the Animated Series and X-Men that were also becoming popular on Fox Kids at the time. So, Transformers didn't really have too much of a leg to stand on with their Cybernet Space Cube. And so, the brand was just kind of running on fumes for those few years, and then Beast Wars happened. And it was like a spark ignited.
Well, the thing is, though, we're looking at it from the American or the Western point of view.
Right.
In Japan, however, you were having Victory, Zone, and Beast Wars Neo. The franchise was alive and well and kicking. during those years. And as a as Western fans, we knew nothing of these. I mean, sure, in Europe they got a lot of those Japanese molds, like the Road Caesar guys and Overlord. So they were getting an inkling that there's something out there that we weren't. And my argument is that if it might have died here in the U.S., but seeing as how all things anime and Japanese seems to make its way over here for some way, shape, or form, who's to say that one of those Japanese series wouldn't have been brought over here kind of a la Dragon Ball Z style and reintroduced Transformers to the Western market with a different viewpoint? And maybe, let's say, Car Robots was brought over here years after, or at the same time. Hasbro might have went back and said, okay, we need something new. We need something fresh. We haven't had Transformers on the shelf for a long time. They got them over in Japan. Let's go in and bring this Car Robots over here and not necessarily have Robots in Disguise like we had it, but just bring it over here and reintroduce it. It catches like wildfire, and then we take off. And then you have this, 8-year gap or so with no Transformers, at all, no Beasts, no nothing here in the West. I mean, what if Beast Wars never happened? And I can kind of see the argument. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I can kind of see the argument. Yeah, Transformers could be where it's at now had there been no Beast Wars. But at the same time, I agree personally, on a personal level, with you guys, that Beast Wars saved it in our Western minds, I guess. It kept it fresh and kept it going over here.
Well, I'm going to bring this up. Back during the Generation 2 days, I would run into fans at toy shows and in the stores and such, but no one was really talking about Generation 2. Again, the internet really wasn't a thing, but I'm just saying people you knew, people you collected, if you went to a local toy show, it just was not something that was big. Now, granted, the internet made Beast Wars a lot more shareable as far as the knowledge goes, but when Beast Wars premiered, everybody was talking about it, whether for good or for ill. People were interested. People were paying attention. The word was getting around that this was a thing. And if that hadn't happened, I just can't see Hasbro, it being one of Hasbro's biggest it's probably their biggest property right now. I just don't see it being that way, and I'm not sure if they would have taken even longer to look at the Japanese stuff to bring it over. And if that didn't happen, the movies might not would have happened. And for good or for ill, the movies have brought a metric crap ton of money into Hasbro, and we're getting stuff from Hasbro. Well, we've all said this before, one time or the other. Generations, Reveal the Shield. The masterpieces being brought over, we're getting stuff that we probably would not be getting if it wasn't for movie money.
Yeah.
And I think Beast Wars is bigger than anybody realizes, but we're having to look at it in hindsight because we didn't know behind the scenes what was going on at the time.
Absolutely. I agree with what you say. It was a hot thing and people were talking about it. Because I remember, going to school during those years. And, people would just, be constantly talking about it in some of the different groups of friends and some of the different classes. Talking about, the things that Dinobot did. I remember we had a conversation for almost like a week, it seemed. We would just keep coming back to it about the farting episode with Rhinox and things. But Beast Wars was a popular, a popular thing. Almost like, when Power Rangers did the whole Green Ranger, White Ranger thing, kids talking about that they were talking about Code of Hero for Beast Wars.
Yeah. And that's something else. You talk about you're in school. I was 26 when that, okay. But
middle school. Let me clarify.
Here's the thing. If Beast Wars had not happened, you have to look at this as a domino effect, not just within Transformers. But if Beast Wars had not happened, we would not have got the actors doing the voices that we did. And I'm using Scott McNeil as an example, not as a slight to the rest. The entire Beast Wars cast as an ensemble is probably one of the strongest vocal casts of any show I've ever seen. And I mean that with every ounce of respect. It's one of the strongest vocal performances of any show I have ever seen in my 46 years of life. But if Scott McNeil had not been on Beast Wars, would he have gotten his roles in Yasha, which he's probably just as famous for as he is his other roles on down the road? So you have to look at it's a domino effect. Would Gary Chalk have gone on to be in Stargate and the shows he's done since?
I think that would have. I think he would have done that.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, again, it's just all these vocal actors have gone on to even more things, but they said Beast Wars was one of their biggest roles that they were getting noticed for. So not just Transformers would have been hurt, but a lot of the anime community would have been hurt by not having these performances because they weren't as well known because of it.
Yeah. Tobias, growing up in Europe, how was Beast Wars received there, to your recollection?
I wish I could answer that question, but I was quite old at the time, and like I said, I didn't really care for Beast Wars. I don't think I even saw half episode of it, because I just rejected it. It was Beasts. It had nothing to do with Transformers for me at the time. So, unfortunately, I can't recollect anything at all.
Now, do you, anything that you hear now while you're, you know, at shows and around fans over there?
Yeah, the the funny thing, like I said in the beginning of the show, I'm going to a convention this summer, and it's actually my first interaction with fans here in England. So I haven't talked to anyone. I haven't met anyone here that's remotely interested in Transformers. But obviously, there's a lot of Transformers fans here. So.
Because there's going to be Transformer rollout just down the way from you.
Yeah, rollout, roll call. And yeah. Sorry about being sketchy about that before, because I lost my link that I had up. But the special guests are Neil Ross and Morgan Lofting, and they obviously tie into the G.I. Joe theme as well. So
yes. That was Neil Ross was the voice of Springer. For
exactly. And to answer your question once again, sorry, but I haven't heard anything about Beast Wars and its popularity at the time. So, but it must have been really popular, because I remember, you know, that crappy PlayStation game. It was sold everywhere. And
that crappy PlayStation game. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. So, I totally forgot that thing.
Yeah, Beast Wars was so popular at the time. And yeah, I think it was that popular in Europe as well, because they actually launched a PlayStation game.
It was rather terrible. I borrowed a copy of it from a friend of mine. You know, it was probably the early 2000s. He had a copy of it, and I had... I had one of those early. It's back, I believe, whenever the PlayStation 2 could still play some PlayStation 1 games. Exactly. And Jim happens to have two copies of it.
Wow, yeah, there it is. I haven't seen it since early 2000.
But yeah, I borrowed it. I'm like, ooh, it's Transformers. And I'm like, this is Mortal Kombat with Transformers, essentially. Maybe even a crappier version of it, I guess.
Yeah. So sorry, I should really know these things because I'm from Europe and a Transformers fan, but yeah, I'll get back to you.
that's quite all right. If you don't have an experience with it, that's fine. I mean,
yeah.
But it's a question worth asking. And you know, I'll just throw it out there for any of our listeners who happen to have grown up in Europe, what are your experiences with the Beast Wars franchise? Did you like it? Did you hate it? You know, how was it perceived in your area as you were growing up? Feel free to post it on our TFYLP Facebook group or tweet us at TFYLP. We'd love to hear from you. Before I move on, I want to mention our sponsors, CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with the Captured Prey loyalty program. And with orders of $150 or more, you can get free domestic shipping. Also, you can go to megatoyfan.com. Megatoyfan, maximize your collection while minimizing your costs. Megatoyfan can be found at many popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Look for Megatoyfan at a convention near you. Maximize your collection while minimizing your costs. Megatoyfan.com. I think we've kind of run the course of this discussion, but any of you guys have any closing thoughts or opinions on this particular subject?
Well, just briefly, I stepped away for a moment to grab, you know, the PlayStation 1 and the Windows 95 versions of Beast Wars. But did you guys mention the Transmetals game at all?
No.
Beast Wars Transmetals. They had that on PlayStation 1 and Nintendo 64, and both versions were different from one another in that they had slightly different character selections. N64, I believe, had Ravage and Starscream in there as well, but it was a fighting game similar in style to like Tekken or maybe like Mortal Kombat 4 or something. You had the 3D perspective and different finishing moves and things.
Yeah, and the PlayStation version had Tigertron and Windrazer from BotCon. Yeah,
but the N64 one was a Blockbuster Video exclusive. To those of you that remember, wow. Blockbuster Video.
Wow.
So good luck finding that one. I saw a copy there's a used game store in this region called Disc Replay, and I saw a mint in sealed box. I mean, it's still in a cellophane wrap, $175.
Wow. Oh, wow. Wow.
Right?
Oh.
So, yeah, good luck trying.
I went to a local Goodwill, and me and my girlfriend was hammering around, and she found a copy of the horrible 1998, 1997 version of Godzilla, but it was in a Blockbuster box. I had to get it.
Wow.
On VHS.
Now that was also a Michael Bay film too, wasn't it?
I don't.
It should have been.
I think it may have been Matthew Broderick and all them.
Yeah.
It was Bruckheimer produced.
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't think it was Michael Bay, but
maybe. I was thinking it was.
Oh, okay. Well, Dora, I think we had talked about this earlier in our little private chat about maybe the episodes that we think are the standout episodes of Beast Wars, and maybe a recommendation on the one toy we think everybody should have.
I agree. The Low Road. Everybody's got to watch The Low Road simply because it's the giant fart episode. and for that reason, everyone should buy a Rhinox.
I'm just glad they didn't give Voyager Rhinox like a tail lifting action. Just,
I am disappointed because they did not.
Now, technically, the Generations toy kind of does. It's kind of the whole flap, but.
Yeah.
I mean, moving along.
It's fart flap. Plasticon, your recommendation for an episode and a
I am trying to remember the name of the episode. It's the one that's when Ravage debuts. I'm trying to remember the name of
the agenda.
That's the agenda.
Okay, the agenda. I guess that was, honestly, to me, I think that was probably the best one because I just absolutely love Ravage. Yeah.
And that's when we all was like, he transforms into a cassette. How is not important. Do not worry about the physics of that. But he had the G1 a sound effect.
The Decepticons forever.
But why did Rabbit transform into a cassette? Is that like a CD?
Toy-wise, I have to give it to Megatron. I love the purple T-Rex.
Which one? Okay, Barneytron.
Purple T-Rex.
Barneytron.
Yeah. Okay. Not roller skate. Not the one, the Transmetal one. That one's cool, but like the original one is really neat. It's actually a pretty cool toy.
In all seriousness, I think my favorite episode of Beast Wars is Possession, the one where Starscream possesses Waspinator. I just thoroughly, not as a G1 fan and also as a Transformers fan, I just got a huge kick out of that episode. And as far as toys, I would recommend Transmetal 2 or the Dragon Megatron. The I think it's Transmetal 2 or Transmetal 2. I really love that toy. It's a great figure.
Have you got the Cryotech version? Because that
I had it.
That's a I love that mold in that blue. That blue is such a great looking color.
It is pretty. Tobias, your opinions.
Well, a favorite episode. I know Jim mentioned it before. It was Code of Hero. I remember that one. It's called Dinobot is fighting for his honor again, and it's just a great episode.
Yeah. That caused me. I didn't cry. But I did get a little sad and at that one. That was because I wasn't expecting anyone to actually die in this series. Ha ha! Was I wrong?
Yeah.
No, but I agree with you, and that's why I chose that episode, because it was something I remember seeing it. I was really old when I saw it, so but it doesn't matter. It was still sentimental. Heartbreaking. And when it comes to toys, I have to pick that big, shiny Manta Ray that is Death Charge.
Very good pick.
Such a beautiful toy. And it shoots like discs, as someone mentioned before.
And it's a great transformation too. It's just
It is.
The one thing you have to mention though is the thing is a shelf hog. You gotta have room on your shelf for it.
But here's the thing. We will never see the likes of Death Charge again. I really don't ever see a toy that massive with that much plastic in it. Him or Rampage. I just don't think we'll see toys like that ever again.
And it was all class, right?
So. I believe so.
Yeah.
Jim, your thoughts on episode and toy?
I'll tell you, I've got to go with Guerrilla Warfare. That was just such an amazing episode. I was Tarantulas, I believe, made some kind of virus that...
No, it was a Scorponok.
Scorponok, okay.
Yeah, he screwed it up.
One of the cyber bees or something. But anyway, infected Optimus Primal systems and essentially turned one of the most noble, heroic characters into this spark-thirsty, badass war machine.
Basically,
and the Maximals took advantage of that in the best way possible, and they just turned him and aimed him in the direction of the dark side, the Predacon ship, and just let him loose. And that has to be some of the best stuff I've seen from the series. I mean, the way Primal just kind of reaches through the wall and grabs Waspinator. How do you not love that? I mean, he was getting shot just with different blasts and bullets, and it, not even phasing. He just kept walking. I mean that was awesome. And as far as toys, I've got to go with Polar Claw from 96.
Good choice.
There's a casemate, I believe, for with along with Scorponok. He came with like the little the bat that was his paw that, like, flipped out and turned into a bat. But even though, you know, it didn't have the greatest transformation, just what it was capable of doing in that, like, the polar bear arms can become whatever over his shoulders, like the back can launch off from his shoulder, and the other one can have some kind of bone claw. You know, just, I don't know, it was just really cool. He had the two different heads, so you could just spin it around. And one of them, I thought, looked kind of like a weird sound wave or something. That was one of my favorite Beast Wars toys.
Absolutely. Don?
Well, I want to say the agenda as a whole, but that's too easy because it's such a great set of episodes where so much is revealed. I'm gonna take that off the table, and I'm gonna go with Bad Spark, because You get the Silverbolt Black Arachnia. You get that started. You get a little more characterization between the two. You got Megatron's behind the scenes treachery. We're introduced to Rampage. It's just a good character moment, and I think it's fun, but it also sets up a lot of stuff for later on. Toy wise, there are so many great toys, but one of my favorite in the line is Silverbolt. Some of the Fusors were hit or miss, but I think he's a great looking Fusor in both Beast and Robot modes. He's got a clean transformation. There's very little kibble other than his wings, just because of the nature of the transformation. And I just think Silverbolt is just a great example of them using a Beast figure's limited mass and it coming out looking great. Plus, I like Silverbolt. I like him as a character.
Too bad he got a shit toy for Beast Machines.
Oh, God.
That thing was garbage.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. The Japanese anniversary release, where they got his Condor colors right, was slightly better because the colors were right. But the U.S. version, that ranks only a notch below Supreme Cheetor. It's like, why did I buy this?
It's still Transformers the Flaming Chicken.
It's Armada Sideswipe bad.
Yes, you're right. For those who don't know about Beast Machine Silverbolt, he's basically a Condor chicken that basically his head is between his legs and he just flips over and stands up. He is Armada Sideswipe level bad. You know,
In robot mode, he looks like somebody cosplaying as a bird. Or a parrot.
Oh, you know what? You color him blue, he'd be Sam the Eagle from Muppets.
There you go.
That's right. That's so right. He's Animorphs bad. Yeah.
He is that bad. He is terrible. Bad. If I had, and this is another episode idea that I've had, is let's have like the top 10 or top 20 worst Transformers of all time. I mean, we're always talking about great figures.
We all know what number one's going to be.
It's Armada Sideswipe for me.
No. At least there we go.
So it's not so obvious.
Okay. Obvious to everybody but Duran. I'm kidding. No. From my list, number one, Supreme Cheetor. I'm sorry. That thing will suck until the heat death of the universe. And I hate myself for buying it.
I think my top five would be Armada Sideswipe.
Don't give it away, Durham.
Okay. My top three, then. I never owned Supreme Cheetor because I could see what a piece of crap it was in the box. Because back in those days, we had good window boxes, and I picked it down. I'm like, man, this is a huge piece of crap. And I put it right back on the shelf.
I was young and dumb. I made a mistake.
Well, I was younger than you, and I didn't make that mistake.
Thanks.
I think that's a great idea for an episode.
But I pick Armada Sideswipe, Armada Super Base Optimus Prime. Cool concept. Cab was great. Combined mode was garbage. I hated that auto transforming
Super Pants.
Thing. Yeah, I couldn't stand that thing. And then number three was Beast Machines Silverbolt.
Mine would be probably Supreme Cheetor.
Supreme Cheetor and yeah. Supreme Cheetor.
Supreme Cheetor, probably Armada Sideswipe, and Galoob Titanium Joe Megatron.
Oh.
Does that thing even qualify as a Transformer?
it's a Transformer. It's marketed as a Transformer.
It would make a good G1 figure because it's a brick.
I mean, people want to complain about parts forming. That thing, like, literally is the parts former.
Yeah, because when you pick it up, it falls apart, and then you put it back together again. Because the diecast is so badly balanced.
You know, I hate to say it, as much as a beloved character as he is, Omega Supreme from Generation 1, great-looking character, great character on the cartoon, but he really didn't transform. You just disassembled him and reassembled him like a Lego set or something. It's like, take him apart, put him back together in a different shape. You know? I always thought that was crap.
You didn't say that. I guess you can kind of say Metroplex is a bit like that, too, because there's a lot of parts you have to have for him, too.
No, this is simple.
That's true.
Yeah, but he at least has transforming aspects, you know.
And Trypticon as well, because you got the little tank that all combines into one little...
Well, I'm not talking about little pieces that come off. I mean, essentially, you split like the legs apart, and there you go. But anyway... That, you know, that's an idea. Maybe next week, you know, staff picks top 10 worst Transformers of all time. You know, maybe we might do that. And, you know, just for kicks and giggles, post them on our Facebook group or tweet us tweet them to us at TFYLP and on Twitter. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on tonight's episode and also on top 10 worst Transformers of all time.
Yeah. Now, Durham, do you think at some point, as much as I would loathe to cover this, I would rather gouge out my eyeballs with Massey's claws?
What, the movies?
No, that we should cover Beast Machines, even though I don't want to, and we'll sit here going, la, 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 I can't hear you.
I'll be happy to, because I love Beast Machines.
I love the idea.
But, you know, I hate it, and I said before, I bought the DVD set for $30, watched the first episode, the last three episodes, said, I'm done with Beast Machines, and sold it for $35.
You did yourself a disservice. There's some great episodes.
Absolutely.
Savage Noble. I love that episode.
Well, that that's true. I did watch that one. But yeah. It's just – so if y'all do that, I will be here for it if it's my week on. Don't expect a lot of input from me other than just
we've got to have two disparaging or despairing.
I can handle the disparaging part. That's no problem.
And maybe we need to have an episode where we talk about RID and have you and Brian Kilby on. And then
oh, well, I've got a question then. That reminded me of something. Okay. This is for y'all and for the viewers. Y'all know in Beast Wars, the last scene where they cut it, where Megatron Spark is returned. That was filmed. That was animated, but cut and not shown. Do y'all think that actually counts as part of the mythos? And the reason I'm asking that is because a friend of mine came up with a fan theory years ago. I just wanted to get your opinion. I've brought this up before and have been threatened bodily harm by bringing it up again on RFC. Because Megatron Spark was not shown being returned, that means G1 Megatron never woke back up, which basically led to a new Generation 1, which was Robots in Disguise 1.0. So do you think – now, this is not my theory. This is a theory a friend of mine came up with, which I think makes sense. Do you think we should be counting that scene where Megatron gets his spark back as far as canon or not?
Yes.
Yeah, I would think so.
Okay.
They went so far as to actually animate it. It was cut for time, I think, was
right.
It?
Right.
That was fully animated though, if yes. I recall. I don't think it was a BWTF or TF Archive, one of them.
Yeah,
that actually had that clip.
Yeah, Ben did, I believe.
Yeah, and then the original, I guess, was lost, so they actually used what was already on the internet and put that in with the DVD box sets.
Mm-hmm. But I just was wondering, you know, if y'all would count that or not, because if you don't count it, it really does kind of lead to a whole new possibility of continuity.
I do okay. count it. I, do. Okay. I mean, because I think it was intended, like I said, just cut for time, you know, but as far as story wise, it should have been left in there. But anybody else have any closing thoughts? Nope.
Well, haven't you? If someone haven't watched Beast Wars or want to see it again, we can always recommend this one. It's a shiny thing from Shout Factory.
Oh, yes.
I don't know. Can you still buy this? Because I'm promoting something that you can't buy.
I think it's a Rhino one.
You can get it on eBay.
Yeah, the Rhino ones are harder to come by, though.
Yeah. This is a complete box set with all three seasons plus extra materials.
That one looked like the Shout Factory release.
Yeah.
It was
yeah,
the Shout Factory.
Okay. Yeah.
But I want to thank everybody for joining us this week on TFYLP. Join us next time at our regular time on Friday nights at 9 on YouTube. And sometime during the weekend, the audio version will drop. Want to thank everybody for interacting with us, listening in. And we will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I'm Daron Land with Headmaster Don, Tobias, Jason, and that dude over there, Jim Black. He's quiet.
Whoever I am.
Yeah, that guy over there, he's forgettable.
Ramjet says good night.
Good night, everyone. We'll see you next time.
Hey, everybody.
Good night.
That's a threat and a promise.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.